You are listening to Retro TV, a podcast about the wonderful world of nearly forgotten television.
Try to separate them. It's an illusion. Try, and you will only come to this conclusion, love and marriage.
Hello and welcome to Retro TV. My name is Mark. I'm on with Leah. How are you, Leah?
Hi there, Mark. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. We are here for our holiday Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. Do you remember when this show first aired? I don't know if this was something that was on your radar right away.
So this particular episode was the very first episode of Married with Children I watched, and it will always stick in my head for sure. It was a crazy day.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I had never heard of it before, but we just had the whole family was there. I was probably, maybe 15 years old. Well, probably about 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all just we were just flipping through the channels and like, what's this? And so we watched it, and my family and I have never laughed so hard ever.
Yeah, there was
watching a TV program, because there was nothing like this on TV before.
Yeah, when Married with Children first aired, I'm looking at a date here. The pilot aired on April 5th, 1987.
Right.
It was part of the launch of the Fox network. Fox didn't exist really before this. You know, it was Channel 5. You had CBS, NBC, ABC, and that's like it, you know?
And that was it. Yeah. And then we had like a KWGN, which was pretty much just movies like Ferris Bueller.
Right. Like we had a WPIX on 11, but these weren't networks. These were, either smaller networks, or they were really designated to, syndicated reruns and news. So
right.
Fox was stepping into the game with their own sitcoms, kind of the way Netflix is these days. So, you know, they came, I don't know all the shows off the top of my head, but I know the Tracy Ullman show was part of the early days of Fox. You know, of course, spinning off into The Simpsons, which was probably that. I'd say The Simpsons, the success of The Simpsons and Married with Children were the putting on the map type of shows.
Oh, absolutely. This show was actually their first primetime series on Fox.
Yeah, and like you just said, you just hit the nail on the head. There was nothing like this on television. It was not PC. It was, you had one, like, oversexed teenager. You had one, like, maybe even a preteen at the time, like the David
Faustino. He was only supposed to be 11 at the time. Yeah.
And then he became like the horny, overly pubescent boy.
Right.
And, you know, the whole scenario was kind of like an All in the Family on steroids type of situation.
Mm-hmm. And this was before Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like the first look of the 80s looking at like a poor family just like trying to make it.
And it's so funny because so much of it resonates as true, I think.
Oh, I know. This show was totally relatable for our family, you know,
mm-hmm.
just the way that they lived paycheck to paycheck and just the way their house was.
And this was also
and their sarcastic assholes, which we always were.
Well, we're going to definitely play some examples of that. But
nice.
We have the kids watching television together. That's one of the things that was always strange about the show is also, as much as they all seemed to hate each other, they were always together for the most part, except at night where Kelly would sneak out.
Kelly was gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Kelly was gone. So, here we go. I'm going to play this Lakeside Mall commercial. This was also the period of time where malls were so popular, you know, the mid-80s. You know, when there was a new mall, that was the new mall to go to. Here on Long Island, we have Roosevelt Field Mall, which was a really big mall in the 80s and is still kind of like this high-end type of thing. But I don't know if there's any mall people anymore. I hate malls, stars.
We actually did have a lakeside mall, so this was pretty funny that it was relatable in that way as well. Yeah, that one no longer exists. What Lakeside is now, it's weird. It's this little town, and it's actually just a few minutes from my house, but it's just one block, and it's a small. I think it is the smallest town in America, or at one time it used to be. There's only 12 residents there. There's four houses, but there's an amusement park. There's a police station. There used to be a race car track and a mall all in this one little tiny square block.
That sounds like a sitcom almost.
It's very bizarre. Yeah. Yeah. The race car track thing's gone. But the Lakeside amusement park is still there.
Oh, that's really
interesting. The mall is different. Now it's just a Walmart and, you know, like a PetSmart and stuff like that. But
well, if they had a very big successful mall, this might be the commercial that they would have aired.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, Christmas Eve is finally here, and so is the new Lakeside Mall. Bring the little kiddies. We've got six Santas, no waiting. And for you bigger kids, come to the Red Nose Bar and meet Santa's very special reindeer, Donna. So come on down, we're open till midnight. Singers?
Santa Claus is coming to the Lakeside Mall.
That's amazing. Of course, like, Kelly's is, like, rolling her eyes at it, and, Bud, I think his name is Bud, right?
Yeah, Bud, yeah. Bud got excited about Reindeer Donna.
Yeah, he wants to go meet Reindeer Donna.
Yeah.
We get Al coming in. He's lugging up a box. He's complaining. Al is just the typical complainer. And I'm just going to play some typical, I guess, married with children banter between the kids and Al. Just to give you an idea of, I doubt anybody has not seen Married with Children, but this is a typical little thing of banter.
Ed, can we go to that new Lakeside Mall? Kelly can shop, you can get bombed, and I can ride Santa's very special reindeer.
Dad, why don't we get Bud one of those scratching posts to rub against? You know, it'll save the furniture.
You really want to save the furniture, Kel? Why don't you stop putting notches on your bedposts?
Now, Bud, apologize to your sister.
No.
Okay.
it's really funny because you go from like a light laugh to another laugh, and then Al just kind of brings it home with that. Al continues going on.
So, Dad, can we go to that new Lakeside Mall?
No, we can't, and I'll tell you why. That mall is killing your father.
Oh, I thought Mom was doing that.
Let me tell you kids something about that Lakeside Mall. It's taken away all the business from my mall, which, if this continues, we'll be broke and living in a cardboard box under the L.
Not us. We'll be in a nice, warm foster home. Come on, let's go, Kel.
Nobody move. That mall's not so great. Just a bunch of stores filled with cheap, gaudy merchandise that only appeals to the tasteless, low-class shopper.
Santa Claus is coming to the Lakeside Mall.
So enter Mom, Peggy. And I'd say Peggy is also just kind of a weird throwback, her character. She's got like a bee's hive hairstyle. She's always wearing like disco pants, played by Katie Sagal, who just is, in my opinion, really great actress.
Oh, absolutely. I love her.
Yeah, she would go on to more recently being in Sons of Anarchy. Even Ed O'Neill, who plays Al. You know, just a great actor. He's done so many different things. I'm not going to comment so much on David Faustino, but Christina Applegate has done very well for herself.
Oh, absolutely. Dave Faustino still, he does a lot of like voiceovers and stuff.
Oh,
now.
Really?
I'm just goofing.
Oh, yeah. But
I know. He's still in the mix. He's just, you don't see him very often, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens with a lot of child actors anyway. They kind of get behind the scenes or they get these voice roles. There's so many cartoons and so many things, but.
Right.
So Peggy's in love with the new mall, just like all of us would be, right? We all want to go to the Lakeside Mall. So they're all discussing how you can't go to the mall, they're broke, it's Christmas Eve. And they're just kind of goofing each other. The whole show is about ribbing each other.
Hilarious. Yeah. Like, none of it's, like, really mean, though. It's just hilarious.
It's, you know, yeah, they stay away from it being genuinely mean. There's a show that I want to bring up, and I can't remember it right now, but I'm going to play this clip, and I'm sure it's going to click in my head, the show that I was thinking.
Okay.
You should see it, honey. For Christmas, they have these little elves that help you with your packages, and a real reindeer for the kids to ride. Although I think he may be dying.
Well, then let's hurry.
Yeah, come on, Al. Santa is parachuting into the mall at 5 o'clock.
All right.
Oh, come on. That's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about family and giving. Okay, here's all the crap my family gave us last year. Now it's time for the traditional rewrapping of this garbage for your family. I'll accept Aunt Pooh's fruitcake. Everyone in the family already got that.
Dad, you punted that around the house last year.
All right, we'll give it to Steve and Marcy.
So I think a lot of people do this. You get gifts, you recycle, and you're like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
It's no tremendous crime.
Yeah. Except for, like, food that's been sitting around for a year.
And I was just thinking, yeah, exactly, like a fruitcake. It shouldn't be pickled. So I'm thinking of, like, what shows, you know, I think without getting too far into it, I'm just thinking most shows these days don't know how to give a joke and take a joke. There are just so many comedies that are mean-spirited. Of course, I'm pointing my finger at shows like Saturday Night Live. Shows that just, they go for the cheap laugh instead of the setup and the correct delivery and right. being genuinely funny. So, yeah, I mean, this is refreshing even now. You know, well over 30 years after its release, I still think that this is better than most television shows that are on right now.
You're absolutely right.
It's not trying to offend anyone. It's just, there's also a disclaimer in the beginning. I don't know if you wanted to discuss that a little bit.
Yeah, sure thing. Let me click over onto that. Oh, yeah. So before the show even starts, before opening credits or anything, there's a black screen and it does say warning. The following depicts a Bundy Christmas. It could be upsetting to small children and others. Parental guidance is suggested. That's what pulled me and my family in. We're like, oh, my God, we got to see what this is all about.
So that aired on the original airing.
Right.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't sure if that was something that was, you know, 2020 inserted by.
Oh, no, Hulu. I remember it as a kid. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's not on the version that I have that I downloaded, but
it was on Hulu. It was at the beginning of the Hulu one.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, whoa, what is this? But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to go that route. They all want their gifts, right? They're at this point where it's like, we want our gifts. And just like in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, people are not going to get a gift without a Christmas bonus, which I think is one of these things that is the coveted Christmas bonus that people seem to receive. It's also, I would say Christmas bonuses are also throwbacks to a different time.
Yeah, we don't have anything like that.
But Al does. In the shoe store, Al certainly does, and it is normally enough to get everyone gifts. So maybe $30. So Al leaves to go get his Christmas bonus on Christmas Eve to get them gifts at the mall, at his mall, which will not be crowded. So there won't be
right,
a problem.
Right, yeah, it's the rival mall to the new Lakeside Mall.
Yeah, so the whole thing, it's just kind of funny. They say, all right, we have to get Daddy's present. Go up to his closet, pick out a tie and a shirt. So I think that's kind of funny. There's little things like that I think are genuinely funny and I guess lighthearted in a dark way.
It's not mean. No, it's not mean. And it's still fresh because I had my son watch this with me and he was dying. He was cracking up so hard. And he doesn't watch TV. The only thing he watches is
YouTube.
That's the big thing. So for him to sit down and watch like a sitcom with me was kind of nice anyway. But he was rolling. He thought this was so hilarious.
I thought this was a really well-written episode. Makes me want to go back and watch more of these episodes.
Oh, I did. I watched probably 2 hours worth yesterday. I just kept on rolling in the season.
Yeah. But just like in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Clark doesn't get his Christmas bonus. So here's Al having his Clark moment.
Honey, look what we got from the Schmitz.
Oh, I'm leaving that out. Do you want to talk about what the Schmitz sent and to whom?
Oh, yeah. So the doorbell rings. Peggy answers the door, and they ask if this is the Schmitz residence, and she's asking why.
I think it's for Marcy. It's for the...
Oh, that's right. For the...
I forget their last name.
Darcy.
No, it's not for the Darcys. It's for a family that's nearby, I guess.
No, it's for Marcy. Yeah, Marcy and Steve's house.
But aren't they Marcy Darcy?
No, after she married the other guy later in series, it was Darcy. Yeah, I can't remember what their names are.
I forgot
now,
they get divorced. Yeah, the Shadow Stevens comes onto the show. Is it Shadow Stevens? No, it's not Shadow. It's Jim J. Bullock. One of them.
Yeah.
It's the one of the Hollywood Squares guys becomes a regular. I don't remember which one. It is.
No, it's McKinney. He was on Revenge of the Nerds.
That's right. Yeah. All those guys look the same to me. They like the chiseled chin, 80s handsome surfer look.
Very.
But they get a basket of some sort.
And she's like, that's us. And so, she takes their gift and.
Yeah.
The guy at the door is waiting for the tip, and she's like, "Bud, could you have that for us?" And he's like, "Sure, Mom," and goes up and slams the door on the delivery guy.
And you know, I would say 90% of this episode takes place on one soundstage. You know, it's really incredible. It really throws back to a style of All in the Family or Three's Company or any of these kind of one room type of deals. We never see the kitchen. We see the front stoop. We see this place and that's it. I think, I don't think we see any other shots really.
No, not in this episode. I think once in a while you'll see
shoe store and stuff
the shoe store and the parents' bedroom upstairs. I don't think you've ever seen the kids' bedrooms.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But, here we go. This is him bringing the news home.
Hi, they're good people.
Dad, I don't see any presents.
He probably has them in the car, stupid. Don't you, Dad?
Well, you know how even when we didn't have too much, we could always look at the poor people who were less fortunate than us and feel better? Well, let's find a mirror.
So, he didn't get a Christmas bonus. So it's like, wah, wah.
Yeah, I know. Which the mirror thing is an obvious joke. You know it's coming, but it's still hilarious the way he...
His delivery is just spot on.
And his facial expressions.
Yeah, I mean, he's all of them. I think they're all really, really great comics.
Yes, all four of them are.
Yeah. So this brings us to Bud having a plan.
I know what we can do. Now let's go down to the Lakeside Mall. Santa's going to drop gift certificates when he jumps from the plane.
Let's travel the week and get all we can.
that's a total bun. That should be their mantra, you know, like to just trample the week.
Take all they can.
Now, the doorbell rings and it's just kind of for this episode anyway, we get introduced to Steve and Marcy, who I would say are pretty funny. I think they are funny.
Yeah.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Delivery from Santa for the Bundys.
Oh, gee. Well, thank you. Good thing they're labeled. I wouldn't want to get them mixed up with the presents Al gave us.
What did Peggy get you, Al?
Irregularity. And these two.
Al, have you been to that new mall? There's a sea of people. Traffic is unbelievable. Didn't ease up till we got near your mall.
Yeah. Give me my present, Steve.
Al, we thought long and hard about this, and then we came up with the perfect gift. Here. We donated some money in your name to the National Organization for Women. Merry Christmas.
Well, that's great. Do I get tickets to their 10K man stomp?
All right, it's our turn. What did we get? What did we get? Oh. A fruitcake. With a footprint on it.
Mm. It's always good to get to receive a recycled gift.
Yeah, an obvious one, yeah.
They hate Steve and Marcy, which is just really funny. It's
they do, but they're their best friends at the same time. They don't know how to be friends, I don't think.
Yeah, we see this sometimes in other sitcoms. I would say King of Queens, we see this type of relationship where they just hate their neighbors, and they don't know really kind of how to react around them. So they all gather around the television to watch the news, basically. I'll just play this through. They're watching the news. They want to see Santa jumping into the mall. And Al is like, oh, this is ridiculous.
There's the Piper Cub coming out of the clouds now. And Santa just made the jump. What a beautiful free fall. And don't forget, he's coming with a sack filled with gift certificates for the Lakeside Mall. That's the Lakeside Mall, where shopping isn't just fun. It's news.
Come on.
Wow, look at him fly.
Why is he flapping his arms like that?
Santa's chute doesn't seem to be opening. Uh-oh, he's being blown off course. Our cameras have lost him. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know where he is.
So you can tell almost from the audience reaction, Santa lands in their backyard, which if you notice in the back, if you look, there's a lawnmower outside and it's covered in snow. turn and Santa has crash landed in the Bundy's backyard.
Yeah.
Marcy and Steve freaking out. We cut to commercial before that. And the Bundys are just, I don't know, they order pizza.
They're eating their pizza Christmas dinner.
I love this so much. This particular scene is the first time I started really, really laughing in this episode.
Oh, it's hilarious.
You know what we ought to do tonight? We ought to make some Christmas cookies.
Oh, yeah, and maybe some eggnog with nutmeg. Mm.
You ghouls! Don't you understand? There's a splattered Santa all over your yard.
What do you want me to do, Steve? Quit eating?
It's just so funny. I just love just the whole attitude. Is just
well, it's much. Funny because shit happens to them all the time. They're used to it. It's like it's like, oh, just another thing. We just have a corpse in the backyard. No,
this
no big
is nothing.
Deal.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
And Marcy is just being annoying, and Al yells at her, which is even crazier.
You keep her quiet. We're trying to have a Christmas here.
And it's just funny because they're all looking at Marcy, kind of like, yeah, he's right. Like, can you just shut up already?
Yeah.
I just thought it was very funny. We have a police officer come in. Crime scene detective, coroner. I'm not really sure what he is supposed to be here. But it's played by actor Mike Haggerty, which we've seen in everything. This guy, he's still doing stuff.
He's a huge character.
I don't know where I know him from.
Growing pains a lot.
I don't know where I know him from specifically, but in all seriousness, if you look at his IMDb, there is something everywhere. Wonder Years, Shameless, Lucky Louie. Maybe I know mostly from Lucky Louie, but it's just crazy, this guy. He just plays kind of a jaded detective at this point, kind of like, it's Santa.
Yeah.
But he has more of a heart than the Bundys seem
to
do.
Bundys.
They're packing up Santa. They have him on a gurney. And whenever they move the gurney, did you notice this?
The jingles.
The jingles, yeah. So that was really funny. They go to open the door to take him out with the paramedics, and there's about six kids out there. So this is the reaction.
What's wrong now? The Easter Bunny hang himself in my front yard?
No, there's kids out there. This might have a bad effect on them. I mean, this being Christmas and Santa here looking like tree sap and all. We can't take him out there now. Swing him back over that way, boys. Come on.
I said to play that. But Marcy just keeps freaking out and freaking out to the point where even we're getting kind of annoyed with her. They take her upstairs to lay down, which I just thought was very weird for her to, like, I mean, even though it's just weird for her to not want to just get out of the house. They live right next door.
I know, just, like, take her home?
Yeah, but she goes to leave and she sees all the kids and she's like, oh, it's fine, it's fine. And the kids won't leave, but Al wants them gone, so he comes up with a plan. He is going to, he kind of goes into what he's going to do.
Now listen, we're trying to have a holiday here, so why don't you get out of here and take the spirit of Christmas with you?
Hey, I'd love to, Mr. Grinch, but I'm not taking him out there with those kids out there.
Al, get rid of those kids.
If I knew how to do that, we wouldn't have ours. Okay, everybody, boys and girls, and you, Tony, Santa's okay. Now, he just had a little bit of Mrs. Bundy's cooking, and he's in the bathroom bent over, but he's going to be fine. So, go home.
We want to see him!
No!
They won't leave. They won't leave until they get to see Santa. And so Al decides he's going to dress up as Santa, which it's totally turning into like one of those kind of like bad Santa moments. So
yeah, it's like, where did he get the costume? Did he peel it off of the dead Santa?
That's what I'm thinking.
They had to have.
Yeah. They had to have. But here we go. We have one of the boys on the lap, and this is another place where the show goes to a different level of humor. This gets to be the type of... This particular scene, I think, is going to be one of the number one reasons why the show did so well, because of this type of dark humor. It's just... It's crazy.
What do you want?
I want to know why he came to Old Man Bundy's house.
Oh, well, I came to bring him special presents because he sells women's shoes and is cursed with a foul wife and has ungrateful kids, but still he goes on.
But he's a butthead.
No, he's not. He's the nicest man on the block.
Boy, you must be Santa.
I told you I was. Hey, what do you want?
I want a real live horse.
Your mom's the one who makes pies for everyone in the neighborhood but those nice Bundys, isn't she? All right. Santa will leave you a horse tonight under your tree. But if it's not there in the morning, it's because your mommy chased it away and killed it.
It's genius. I mean, it's to me, I just think it doesn't get too much funnier than being a Santa and manipulating. This is a strange, like, whoa, this is a little thing. Maybe an 11-year-old girl jumps up on his lap, and he says this response.
don't jump on Santa's lap too hard, little girl. Mrs. Claus won't like that. No, Nestor. Despite what your mom says, Mr. Bundy doesn't really sprout a tail at midnight. But here's a special Christmas gift for Daddy. Tell him to come home for lunch someday around when Mr. Mailman's there with a special delivery for Mommy. That'll be a real Yuletide treat for old Dad.
What do I get?
A new home and a fresh new Mommy.
So, it's just Al Bundy playing the kids in any way that he can. It's right. Kind of funny. And how can you not laugh? They're cheap laughs, but they're delivered so well.
Yeah, they really are. It's real well written, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody yells out that he smells like beer, so this is his response.
Santa smells like beer.
Hey, catch me in 5 minutes. I smell like hard liquor.
There's little like things like that, which I just think carry the show. So that even when there's not a big laugh, there's there's always a delivery. There's always, like, something at the end of the day. So he's doing a good thing in a lot of ways. He's not letting the corpse get out without getting rid of the kids. He finally gets rid of them. Doorbell rings, and we get a business person from the mall who, and in total Bundy fashion, he's there to basically bribe them to not talk about what has happened. But Al Bundy lets him know that there's no reason, really, to bribe him anymore because they took care of it. The body's gone. There's nothing to clean up anymore. And the guy rips up the check right in front of Al. And we're like, oh, man, this is the worst. Yeah.
The Bundys are getting the shaft again.
Yeah, this just kind of always happens. It's a Bundy Christmas, after all. And we get that little moment of it's a Bundy Christmas from Peg.
Later on in life.
Yes, it's a Bundy Christmas. And unfortunately, we're Bundys.
What's that?
I don't know, but if it's dead and has a red nose, we'll throw it in Stephen Marcy's yard.
So we learned that sound in the background is what I kept on asking, like, well, what happened to the sack of gift certificates?
Oh, you were thinking about that?
Yeah, I was like, where is it? You know, it had to have fallen somewhere. So they pull it in.
Off the roof. Hey, look, it's $10 certificates from the Lakeside Mall.
Hundreds of them.
It must have been the bag Santa had when he jumped.
Oh, we're rich.
And I found it.
Oh, thank your father, kids.
Thanks, Dad.
Let's go bust them all. But first, for a moment of silence, because we owe a lot to that jolly flat man.
So they bow their heads, and that brings us to the end of the episode. I'm just going to play the music on the end, but I thought this was such a hilarious episode. I'm glad you brought it up.
You had never seen it before, right?
I probably saw it when it first aired, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, okay.
Also, you know, I don't know. Christmas episodes to me, even when I was little, they were the ones to skip, not just because I'm Jewish, but because they're usually filler episodes. They're usually just not funny. So,
no, it's usually a cheesy learning experience episode. When I was trying to find some different episodes to do, a lot of them is bringing in a homeless person to celebrate Christmas with us.
Right.
And it's always like sad, sappy Christmases that have like a moral to the story.
Ugh.
But not this one.
No, not.
Well, we got dead Santa in the backyard. We got a corpse.
Well, he did the right thing, and he's being rewarded. You know, if you wait long enough, maybe something good will happen. That bag looked really full. You know, maybe there's like 1,000 things in it. It's like 10 grand, maybe.
Or even $1,000 would be amazing for them.
Yeah, for them, $10 would be amazing. Present. One.
Yeah.
but let's be real here. They're not going to let them actually use those.
I know, right? Yeah.
But Leah, I want to thank you so much for doing this episode. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you. And so check us out on VHS Rewind. We'll probably try to squeeze in another holiday episode. Maybe we can dig up a New Year's episode. We'll see.
Sounds great.
But I'm just going to play us out with the end of this episode where they're bowing their heads for a moment of silence. And in Bundy fashion, they break the moment of silence in a total amazing way. Just stand the line.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Retro TV. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review. See ya next time.